Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. And later he said, I will give to Peter the keys of the kingdom, because he used the church and the kingdom in the same meaning in that passage, just like he did in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. The church of God at Thessalonica was the kingdom of God. And unless you were a member of it, you were lost. They saw that reconciliation occurred to God in one body through the cross. But it was still in this one body that it happened. And there were Christian groups in that first century. The ones that were back there, you remember? They were still Christian groups. But they were lost Christian groups because they had turned away from something that was a part of the revelation of God. And I'm asking you, now that's what they thought about who they were. Do we still believe that about ourselves? You know, one of the things that is hardest for people to accept about the Church of Christ, you and your little group think you're all in one going to be saved. You ever heard that? What did they think about themselves in the first century? It wasn't any harder for people to hear it in the first century than it is today. But how dare I come over and tell this fellow, you know, I know you're worshiping an idol, but you can be saved worshiping an idol. I preached this sermon a week or so ago, so I may have used this illustration earlier in this week, and if you have, please forgive me for repeating it. I'm almost as old as my brother. I was celebrating our anniversary, and my wife and I went over to Indianapolis. We lived in Dayton at the time, and went to a nice hotel downtown, and it just so happened that the Disciples of Christ, the most liberal portion of the Christian church, were having their convention at this hotel that same week. Now, I had taken my education at Butler University and also at Christian Theological Seminary, and both those universities had been under the auspices of the Disciples of Christ. So I had pretty good familiarity with what Disciples of Christ believed and what they taught. So I asked them, what were y'all talking about in your convention today? And the gentleman said, whether or not you have to believe in Jesus to be saved. And they said, what if the situation is, it's a matter of arrogance to us to think we go over to these third world countries and tell them, here's the way you ought to worship. Well, they've been worshiping this way for years. And it's arrogant of us to assume we know something better than they know. Now, my friends, what they expressed in that convention, it sort of divided the convention then, but that is what the mainstream Protestants believe about evangelism today. It's almost a dirty word to talk about taking the gospel to a foreign people. But that's not what the first century saints thought. They thought those people were lost and needed to hear the gospel. What do we believe about it? Do we believe our unbelieving neighbor is lost? You know, we think about taking the gospel to the lost over in the Philippines. And yeah, those over in India, they need the gospel because they're a bunch of pagans. But what about the pagans that live around Avon, Indiana? Are they in any better shape than the ones that are in the Philippines or in India? And do we have a responsibility to take the gospel to them for the same reason we send it to the Philippines? Because they're lost without the gospel. And as you think about the statement that is made about them being lost, have we defined ourselves in such a way that the Lord's church or his kingdom is like it was in the first century, or are we just one denomination among many? Do those first century saints realize that first century Christianity was diverse? Yeah, they're not like us. And maybe you've heard about some of the documents that have come from groups like this, like the Gospel of Thomas, that tells about the Jesus being married to Mary Magdalene. Or that some that believe that he was not able to do some of the things that said in Scripture that he did do. Yes, there was diversity in that first century. That's why these people had to be marked and shown where they were wrong. And you know, what they had in the first century is not much different than what we have in the 21st century. There are some lost people that have stepped outside the revelation of God's Word. Those people believe there was a pattern for worship. And in that pattern for worship that they followed over there in paganism, that wasn't right. And they didn't have any trouble telling them it wasn't right. They turned away from that God. They turned away from will worship. They turned away from anything except what was revealed in God's Word. And they believed that Jewish believers in Yahweh who persecuted the Christ were lost. And it wasn't because they hated those people that they said that the wrath of God is upon you. It was because they were lost.